Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You might notice Roy Miller is not in the pulpit this morning. Please be praying for him. Last night about 8 o'clock or so, a doctor he visited because of coughing spasms said, "You have such spasms in your back, you should stay flat on your back for 24 hours or so and not try to do anything." So he's not with us this morning. Remember him in prayer. Probably remember Janet as well, right, Janet? Okay. And I will be conducting the services this morning. Let's take a moment, quiet our hearts for worship, and then I'll interrupt your thoughts with our today's call to worship. Hear these words from Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our God, we acknowledge you as the great King over all the earth. You are the one who has made it, and it is yours. You are the one who deserves praise and honor from every lip and every creature. And you do gather that. We are glad for that. We are glad for your instruction to us. We are glad for your call to worship. We are delighted to come into your courts with praise. We wish to gather in your presence now. We wish to bring you our prayers as well as our praises. We wish to pray as the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we'll read Psalm 116 responsibly. It's printed back on page 827. Okay, Psalm 116, the lower right corner. Okay, let us read responsibly. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me.
Be at rest once more, O my soul. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted.
And in my dismay I said, all men are liars.
How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant.
You have freed me from my chains.
I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. At this time, we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. The words that we will share are on page 845. A little different than traditional, but same substance. Let us recite these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'll make a really brief reading from the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4, right? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'll just read about verses 13, 14, and 15. If I can find the right page. Okay, let us hear the word of the Lord. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us unite our hearts in prayer for one another. Heavenly Father, it is good to adore the Lord Jesus, to speak of his great grace, his great qualities, source of truth, source of goodness. We're glad for music that has emerged from the life of the church. We're glad for the revelation of things that you have taught us to sing. So, Father, even as we delight in you and in your Son, bring you our praises and honor and glory, we do think of one another as well. And Father, we do want to lift one another up to you. We're glad that you have had an eternal love for every one of your children. We know what it is to know that love, and we do want all of our brothers and sisters, wherever they are, to know your kindness, to experience it, to recognize that you are their care, the Lord is their shepherd. Father, we do lift one another up. We lift up each other if any one of us might be suffering physically, feeling the pains and the cares of the body, the ills that the world is heir to, the misery that goes along with our sinful condition. Father, we do ask that you would be providing for them. Father, we could go on and on and on. Any one of us could go on and on, bringing up various needs, various persons, individuals we love, groups we know about, new church plants. Father, we do ask for your blessing on all of these things, whether we can mention them or not. And Father, we ask that you would bless us even as we are met here this morning. Receive our worship with delight and bless us with your Spirit and your word. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see. Prayer. Well, one way or another, I simply have to remark on God's providence regarding today. A few days ago, most of us were probably keeping up with our national calendar, enjoying Thanksgiving holiday. And then last night, Roy was in some clinic or other, learning that he had to lay low today. And today, it's the last Sunday of the month, and we have communion scheduled. So today, I'm preaching, and you'll be getting my take on some things relating to all of this. Believe it or not, I actually have a sermon in front of me connecting Thanksgiving and communion. I have no idea what Roy would have talked about this morning. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Well, you have scheduled communion this very Sunday, and it is Thanksgiving weekend. In the minds of some Christian brethren, that would be really appropriate. After all, we have a lot of Christian brethren that refer to communion as Thanksgiving. They don't necessarily use the word Thanksgiving. They have a fancier word for it, right? The Eucharist. If you know a little bit of New Testament Greek, eucharisteo, that is the Greek word for I thank. And Eucharist is the noun for Thanksgiving. It's not exactly our tradition here in terms of the words we like to use, but it's really not a bad tradition at all. Early Christians were really aware of this, and early Christians, way back when, called communion the Eucharist. They called it Thanksgiving. Thanking is really a normal thing for a human to do. Everybody is blessed in this world with the kindness of God. And certainly, Thanksgiving would be normal for Christians. If you are saved entirely by Christ's work, no thanks to you, none of your effort put into it whatsoever. If you are saved entirely by Christ's work, certainly Thanksgiving is a really normal thing for you to do. And that kind of brings us to Psalm 116. It is a Thanksgiving psalm, which is clearly connected to the Christian practice of communion. The psalm speaks of raising the cup of thanksgiving. We raise a cup of thanksgiving in our communion. A psalm of thanksgiving like this, the cup of thanksgiving was always held up by Jews at special services. Jesus himself, the night he was betrayed, after he had given thanks, passed the cup, the new covenant in his blood, around to his disciples. Now, Psalm 116 was written by someone who thought, at least once thought, they were going to die. Don't ask me how. He doesn't mention it at all. I have no idea about the manner, but in his mind, he was definitely doomed for death. Brought near to death, he called upon the Lord, and he didn't die. In fact, it looks like he came back to health. He was saved by the Lord from his own expectations of death. And if you were to summarize a psalm, it would be like this: the Lord has provided my ultimate need, so I'm going to thank him. Put the whole psalm in maybe those two phrases. And that really should be the outlook of every believer. God has provided, so I'm going to thank him. The general outlook of this psalm. That's the general outlook, but you can get a slightly more specific message if you think about it a little bit, and that is that you should thank the Lord publicly. Publicly. Other people should know that you are thanking God. And the psalm makes that perfectly plain in the latter part of the psalm, but it kind of builds up to it. The psalm discusses the experience of the writer, might be a little bit like your experience, but it discusses the experience of the writer in order to teach you about thanks. So let's build things a little bit to discuss it as the psalmist does. First of all, you should thank the Lord publicly because your anguish is public. That might be more true than you know. You might think you suffer in silence, suffer unknown to everybody else, but really your anguish is probably more public than you realize. Now, this writer's agony, I think, was known After all, he was almost in his grave. And if he had died, everybody would have known about it. There'd be nothing secret at all about his plight. And apparently, he talked about his condition enough to discover that all men are liars. Possibly he had asked people for help, some kind of relief or whatever. Maybe people said, be glad to, but then when it was time for the relief really needed, the answer seemed to be no. You really need me? Well, sorry about that. The help just didn't work out. All men are liars. The psalmist is overcome by trouble and sorrow. He functioned badly enough that people could tell his agony was public. The same is true of you. Your death would be public knowledge. Your family would know about it. The attending doctor would know about it. The coroner, I guess you'd call him. The undertaker would know about it. It probably would even wind up in the news. And you probably talk about your condition when you are suffering if you want people to know. You may have had a friend at one time or another who seemed like they never had anything to say unless they brought up their suffering. I think I've known a few people like that myself. People can tell you are feeling bad. Because when you are feeling bad, you might make other people miserable or let it on some way or another. Your agony is public. You can't be successful in hiding it. It is better known than you realize. And that is especially true of the agony of sin. If you were to turn to Psalm 32, for instance, Psalm 32 said, when I tried to hide my sin, my bones grieved, I was crushed. The agony of sin really is impossible to hide. But just as agony is public, maybe more public than you know, so your thanks should be public. That's only fair to the situation. Have you ever seen somebody handle a prayer request about suffering so loosely that it's almost an offense? Where perhaps they desperately ask you to pray for them, and a couple weeks later they look fine, and you say, how's it going? You say, oh, everything's cool. Anything happen? Oh, nothing. And then you say, hey, what about my prayer? I prayed for you. Looks like you're okay. Don't you remember that? I've bothered people that way. Ask them to pray and then basically forget that I've asked them to pray. But at any rate, your agony is more public than you know, so your thanks should be public. Secondly, you should thank the Lord publicly because your deliverance is public. This writer in Psalm 116 was almost dead. As I said earlier, his death would have been a public event. But now he says, I'm walking around in the land of the living. Living people get to see him, not the people down in Sheol. Living people on the earth get to see him. And just as there is no hiding death or sorrow, so there is no hiding his life. He is walking. He no longer has the affliction to talk about. His conversation is probably now much different. He's all better. Probably talks about good things, talks about joys, talks about pleasures. He doesn't have to worry if people's offered and withheld help comes through because now he can rely on his own health. And he functions now like a healthy man. He's not overcome by trouble and sorrow. He carries his own weight. And anybody who knows him knows that his condition has changed. There is public knowledge of his deliverance. When you go through sorrow and deliverance, your deliverance is public. People can tell when you have come out of affliction. I remember I once gave a man a ride, and the whole time during the ride, the whole conversation coming from him was nothing but cheeriness. No reference to pain, no reference to sorrow. It was a really, really, really enjoyable ride. And it came after he had spent about a year talking about pain and sorrow. But that ride, you could tell, he was in a different condition. His deliverance was obvious, public. I could tell something had happened for him. Our son Seth is with us this morning. I remember when he was 6 weeks old, we had one of the worst days of our life. It was Sunday morning. Seth was, I shouldn't go into all the details here, but Seth needed to be taken to the hospital and he needed surgery. 6 weeks old, pyloric valve was stuck, pyloric stenosis. Well, of course, somebody gave us a ride to the hospital. His name, can't remember his name now, I should, but of course, he went back to the church and said, pray for the Harringtons, you know, baby's in the hospital, wonder what will happen to him, surgery, blah, blah. And a week later, we were out of the hospital, we're back at the church. Now, the church had probably spent a whole lot of time praying for us one Sunday morning. A week later, we're back at church. Seth is with us. Everything's cool. Pretty obvious that their prayers had been answered. Pretty obvious the Lord had taken care of us. People can tell when you come out of misery. They can also tell when you come out of sin. If there is a time in your life when you are weighed down with a besetting sin that you wish wasn't there, you wish you knew how to fight it, you wish you knew how to get rid of it, and then victory comes. People can tell. It shows up on your visage. People can see that people can see that you're different. Your deliverance is public, so make your thanks public. And thirdly, you should thank the Lord publicly because your way is public, your way of behavior, for instance. God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt in a very public way. It was really obvious to Egypt, of course, but it was also obvious to the other nations. He brought the people of Israel out of Egypt so that they could walk before him in righteousness and holiness and truth and worship him in the way he ought to be worshiped. And that was seen and known by all the nations. God gave the people his laws so they could demonstrate their thanks and their obedience, so that they could do it as a whole nation, just like your participation in church. We are here following God as a whole unit, as a body. But he also gave instructions for handling particular thanks, such as thank offerings. You can read all about them in Leviticus chapter 3, Leviticus chapter 7. There's a chunk of chapters there all related to peace offerings, and the thank offerings are handled as part of the peace offerings there. But basically, a sacrifice of thanks in a thank offering was made a public event. The guy sacrificing would say, come, eat with me, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank God with me. And this psalm, Psalm 116, shows the public nature of such an offering. The thanks and the joy were shared with others for the sake of encouraging them, for the sake of building them up, for the sake of testifying to them of the nature of the Lord. These things were important to everybody, so the thanks was public. Now today, we don't have sacrifices to bring. I didn't bring a lamb. I didn't bring a goat. I don't think any one of you did. Am I right? We don't bring sacrifices like those things because we have the real sacrifice in our past. sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. You could read this psalm and kind of see some ways that Jesus fulfills it. After all, he was the servant. He was the son of the Lord's maidservant. He not only came close to death, he really died on the cross. And he not only rebounded from a near-death experience, he rebounded from death itself by his resurrection. And he shows us how he handles thanks. With the deliverance of God, he goes to his disciples after the resurrection and shares an awful lot of good things with them. You read about it in Luke chapter 24, last part of the chapter. But when he goes to see them, he says, "Peace, peace be with you." Shares with them the fellowship of God. Show them his life through his wounds. Shared food with them. Explained everything that you could possibly want to know. God's purposes, the meaning of his death, preaching, etc. And he shares with them the promised Holy Spirit. He shares the blessings of salvation with everybody else. The disciples were filled with joy and amazement. And of course, you know, they went throughout the world sharing these sayings. It's one of the reasons we read the little passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can read more of it if you want. But by Jesus himself, the thanks is made public. He blesses his friends, the disciples, and then the disciples bless everybody else. The witness of the disciples and the witness of everybody that comes from them has blessed you. You should continue passing that along. Communion is a way of public thanksgiving. Thank God for it. In this, of course, we remember the real sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. So make the most of it. But be public with your thanks elsewhere also. Be thankful when you're at work. Let people know that you are thanking the Lord for his kindnesses in your life. Be thankful when you are in the marketplace, getting groceries for your home or getting something else. You're surrounded with people who are serving you. Serve them with a thankful witness about the Lord Jesus. Be thankful in your neighborhood. Those people see you almost every day. Perhaps they ought to know more of what you are about. And something that you are definitely about is the salvation of the Lord Jesus and your thankfulness for it. There really is nothing secret about sin and deliverance. There's nothing secret about misery and deliverance. There are not all the secrets in life that you might think. God says his salvation is displayed to the ends of the earth. And if you possess his salvation, the world knows because you can't hide it. God says, don't be bashful. Make your thanks public. So God will receive thanks from others as well. Let us pray. God, you have become my salvation. Salvation belongs to you. You are the God of salvation. It has come at such a cost to you, the sacrifice of your son, but it is something that you delighted to do and something he delighted to do. Father, of course, we take delight in your kindness. We take delight in the blessings of salvation. Father, we ask that we would be instruments of yours, publicly thanking you, calling attention to your work, your grace, your kindness. We ask that that thanksgiving would redound to a great chorus of thanksgiving from so many others. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin with, let's read Jesus' own words of institution. And I'll use the book of Matthew. Okay. This is Matthew chapter 26, and we'll start with verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. While I read these sayings, I'll try to emphasize reference to blessing or thanksgiving. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements, representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior, are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ. And they are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in thankfulness for his salvation. As much as we have said about the greatness of the work of salvation, it is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to this supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners and without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ, confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ, and base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness. And we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, crucify our old natures, and follow Christ as become those who bear his name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Keith, would you like to offer prayer and thanksgiving over these elements?
Lord God, may this be a blessed time of fellowship and communion with you, that you would manifest your presence in a way that's real and true. And may you perform a work in our hearts, a great blessing that would be glorious and real and indescribable as well. Help us just to ponder more and more on what was accomplished in your atonement. May this also cause us to look heavenward to the future, where all this will culminate in the marriage supper of the Lamb for all of eternity. So continue to make our hearts ready for heaven. And these things I pray all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread and blessed and broken it, gave it to his disciples, as I, ministering in his name, give this bread to you, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, this is his body, take and eat. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as has been done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in his blood, shed for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you. Alan, could I prevail upon you to offer a prayer of thanksgiving?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we cannot really comprehend the gift that you have given us, the giving of your only Son to pay the price of our sins, so that we might be reconciled to you. You have poured out your blessings on us from the beginning and have continued to care for us. Help us to truly understand what you have done for us. We ask you to continue to pour out your blessings and to guide us and to help us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We ask this in Christ's name.
Now receive the benediction of the Lord.